Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Sometimes you need to come up here and sit with me. Maybe you can take turns and listen to the singing. It's quite a wonderful thing to listen to you sing the songs and to praise your Lord and to be able to just hear the words washing over me. Sometimes I don't even bother singing, I just listen. I like to listen to you sing. This morning we're going to be looking again at the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We've been making our way through the 10th chapter the last few Sundays. We'll be looking at the last six verses this morning. Or is it five? Five verses. Luke 10, reading from verse 38 to the end of the chapter. Again, that's Luke 10. And we'll read from verse 38 this morning through to the end of the chapter, where we read then as follows in the name of our Lord. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. Shall we pray? Our gracious, eternal Heavenly Father, we ask you again this morning that you would be present with us by your Spirit. That indeed, Father, you would teach us, help us to learn this morning, open our ears so that we might hear, and sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. The travel narrative of the Gospel of Luke starts already in the 51st chapter of the ninth chapter, and continues all the way down through the 19th chapter, verse 28. Some people say, well, it's actually verse 10 or verse 42. It doesn't really matter. I just think it's quite something to take note of as you're reading through the Gospel of Luke and in your quiet time around the Word of God, to notice the travel narrative that takes place when Jesus sets his face to steadfastly go to Jerusalem. And from that point on, then, it's like the epistle, or the gospel, rather, becomes very episodic. And what I mean by that is that we see these various episodes of teaching that Jesus now does for the people who are following him, whether it's his disciples, the 12, or the great crowds that are with him as well, or even in a situation like this where they enter into the home of a certain person and sit down to enjoy a meal. All of this is here now to teach us not only about our God, but also to notice as he makes his way toward Jerusalem that he's all about teaching. He's all about showing the people how God works and how God moves in this world. As we noticed last time, as we talked about the Good Samaritan and looked at it in light of Jesus the Christ being actually our Good Samaritan, who has rescued us from our woundedness, plucked us up, as it were, like a brand out of the fire, and lit within us the fire of the gospel. We now are able to move in this world and to proclaim the name of Christ. Here, as we come to this another section here, another episode, we see here that Jesus enters into a house. And this seems quite, perhaps, insignificant in and of itself, but it's actually quite quite amazing, really, as Martha invites not only Jesus into the house, but his 12 disciples as well. So now she's going to bring all of these men into her home and begin to provide for them. And this is no small task. You didn't go into the pantry, open it up, you know, take out a jar, a can of beans or whatever it was that you have there, and, you know, a package of hot dogs or something like that, and begin to feed. This is a big undertaking. And this is what we need to understand. When we look at these narratives, we need to understand them in their historical context as well. This is a big job. She had to make bread. She had to perhaps go out and kill an animal and butcher it and get it ready to prepare for meat for all of these individuals. There was a lot of work that needed to be done. And this is exactly what she was doing. She's cumbered about, as it tells us in our text, with much serving. But Mary is not. And I think there's quite an interesting thing that goes on here, and as we compare the Martha and the Marthas and the Marys, if you want to say it that way. When you look at these two women and we consider them, what is going on exactly here in this house? Is Martha wrong in what she is doing? Is she wrong to serve? Because we put a lot of emphasis, as it were, on serving. This is what we do as individuals within the Christian church, and rightfully so. Paul writes about it all the way through his letters. Christ himself says that he didn't come to, you know, be served, but rather to serve. And so he says, this is what you are to do as well. But this situation is different. You and I are simply here this morning as observers. We're getting a little snapshot of this household and of what's going on here. You can kind of imagine with me. They're all sitting there. They're reclining, as it were, and as was the custom of that day, preparing to eat. And Jesus, as he's there, is teaching his disciples. He's teaching them of the various things of the kingdom of God, teaching them really of himself. And when you and I gather in the household of God, this is what we gather for. We don't gather here for a moral rah-rah or something like that. We gather here to hear about Christ, to hear about his ministry, what he has done, and hear how that now manifests or makes itself known in our lives. Martha was worried about her serving, as it says here. Martha received him into her house. She also had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. There's a very powerful thing that comes with the word of God. We make a heavy point about this, or I stress this quite often, but not only myself, but lots of ministers of the gospel, as I have listened to some, even at the convention, make a strong point here, because it's necessary for the people of God to recognize that this is what we need. We need the word of God. This is why what follows makes sense. Mary sits at the feet of Jesus to hear his word. When Jesus was talking to the Jewish people in the Gospel of Matthew in the 11th chapter, he told them a very interesting thing, and I'll read that for you. In the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, in verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And perhaps all of us gathered here this morning have heard that, right? Is there anybody here this morning who hasn't heard that verse? We quote it quite readily, but we don't believe it. We don't believe it. Very often we're like Martha. We're cumbered about with serving. We think this is what it's all about. The Christian life is about performance. It's about what you do. It's about serving in some way, shape, or form. And we do that because we're very much oriented and directed by our society. We're performance driven. And we've allowed this now to come into the church in the sense that we think that this is now how God is going to be pleased with us. He's going to be pleased if we're running around taking care of business, serving people, doing all of the work that needs to get done, and God's going to be happy with me. And very often, our serving is quite selfish. You see, that's what we don't recognize. We don't understand how fallen we actually are. So that even in our serving, we are somehow looking for self-gratification or self-glorying. We want people to recognize what we do. Martha turns to Jesus and says, look at what I'm doing. Look at Mary here. She's doing nothing. She's just sitting there. Make her do something. Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Seems reasonable, doesn't it? I mean, as far as we can tell, there was probably at least 13 men to serve. Why should Martha do all the work? But this is a snapshot of what is really important, my friends. This isn't like some sort of recipe or order on how we are to go about life. This doesn't mean that we all need to simply sit and not do anything either. One commentator I read recently on this said that the church would be in a lot of trouble if there was just all Marys. Because then nobody would be cooking the dinner in the kitchen. But this is what we're looking at here. Martha was actually so overwhelmed with what she was doing that she lost sight of who was actually sitting in her household. We can be so overwhelmed, and I'm using this as in a parallel. I'm not saying this is like a spiritual understanding of this. We can be so overwhelmed with what we need to do, how we need to keep our life on the straight and narrow, that we miss God altogether. We don't even see him. And here he is right in our midst. He's with us all along, and we're so concerned about keeping him happy or simply about my own self-made religion that we lose sight of God completely. And that's all we see is what we are doing. And this is always the danger. This is a danger of religion, and it smacks of this world smacks of religion, which is why we see all of these atrocities carried out in the name of some god. Because people think that somehow they need to please their god. They need to go about doing things in order to make him happy. And the Christian, the gospel message says exactly the opposite. The gospel message says, come to his feet and learn from him. Learn that he is meek and lowly of heart. Rest already. Come to him and rest. Learn what he has done for you. Martha, Martha, Jesus tells her. He here chides her gently. You are careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that. Mary hath chosen that good part. I find that to be quite fascinating. He says, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You see, very often we as Christians, we forget this. Often the way that we live our lives is by choice. We very often will enter into our lives and we will make decisions that are not based, as it were, on the hearing or the word of God. They're based on hearsay, they're based on religion, they're based on all of these different things. And Jesus says, look, Martha, here's Mary sitting at my feet, hearing my teaching, my word. She has made the right decision. You have not, by implication. You are so concerned with this serving in things that you have completely forgotten who entered into your household, and you have not even taken benefit of his teaching. Because service is not always good. Sometimes it can be very, very selfish. You see, Mary had made the right decision, and we don't like that word in church, or at least in our church. Choosing or decisions. Is it fair enough to say that? Because very often, my friends, the way we live our lives and how we see our God is by our own choice. We don't simply look at this word and see Jesus for who he is. We make up our own minds. This is how God operates and works in this world. This is what he wants. This is what he expects. And so we make a choice or a decision that this is what I'm going to do now to keep him happy, to make him happy, or whatever else it might be. And Jesus tells Martha, who is doing this, that no, Mary has actually made the right choice. And the choice that she made, that will never be taken from her. Because she is sitting at the feet of her Savior and hearing his word and knowing that in him she will find her peace, her rest, her joy, her forgiveness, and on and on and on it goes. Jesus says, as we heard already out of the Gospel of Matthew, learn from me. Learn from me. You see, my friends, this faith that we have, that has been God-given, is a faith that we exercise daily in our lives. As we make decisions based on that, which is why we need the Word of God. Faith, it tells us, comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, out of Romans, the 10th chapter, the 17th verse. But also in Romans 1:17, what do we read there? And I'll turn there so I don't quote it wrongly. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the righteous shall live by faith. You see, my friends, this is how we live. Like Mary, we come to the feet of Jesus. We come to the foot of the cross, and there we listen to his teaching. We hear what he instructs us. We understand now what it means to walk and to live in this world. Colossians, the passage for Colossians today, really brings this home, I think. As we read from there, in the first chapter of Colossians. And to me, this really, as I tried to, in my imagination at least, tried to place myself in that room. Because, you know, I would be like looking at Mary and saying, come on, woman, get to work. But honestly, that's just how I am. I don't like laziness. It bugs me. If I'm sitting around people working and someone's not working, well, immediately I'm like, what's this guy doing over here? Let's get moving here. but Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And listen from the words of Paul what she is hearing and learning. In verse 15, who is the image, this is speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And this is really the point. Christ must have preeminence in our life, which simply means, in layman's terms, he comes first. You see, my friend, it's not wrong to work in the kitchen. It's not wrong to work hard and to serve one another. Those things aren't wrong, but if those things come before Christ, then those things are wrong. You see, that's what the scripture teaches. Christ is to be first and foremost in our life. Everything else builds from that. He is the foundation upon which we are built. We are not trying to somehow build the foundation. The foundation has been laid, and this is now where we stand and are seated yet today. And from this point now, we go out and make the right decisions. Because in him, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Do you realize that Mary, as she sat at the feet of Jesus, was sitting at the feet of her God? Do you realize that Mary was sitting at the feet of her God, her Creator, her Maker? Which is why Jesus chides or rebukes Martha like he does. Martha, Martha, you are troubled and concerned about many things. But look at Mary here. She is seated here and she's listening to the words of her Maker. Why is it, my friends, that we become troubled and worried about so many things? And we haul those things right into church. We sit down here and we listen to the pastor preach, or perhaps we don't even listen. We just kind of hear his voice off in the distance somewhere. And we're wondering when he's going to say amen. When this is the place where we are to come and lay our burdens down. This is why we make a big deal about church. Church is where we come to hear the word of God. We come to hear about our Savior and our Redeemer. And many of these men, as they stand up to pray, will pray that we could lay those things aside, all of the things of this life that would build up and consume us to the point we can't even enjoy worship at all. We come here, there's the first song, there's the welcome, there's the second song, there's the prayer, there's the third song, there's the sermon, there's the last song. Let's get out of here. And we don't listen at all to the songs. We don't hear the scripture reading, perhaps. We don't hear the prayer, even. And we don't hear the sermon at all. Because too often we're like Martha. We are concerned about many things. And perhaps some of the things that we're concerned about are legit. You know, they're worthwhile concerns. But here's the place where you can enter weekly and sometimes bi-weekly and lay those things down and sit at the feet of your God and listen to his teachings as he speaks through his ambassador, through his servant, which is all I am. Or whoever else is standing up here proclaiming the word of God in truth. We come here to hear the message of our God. Mary had chosen the good part. And Jesus says that'll never be taken away from her. Can you imagine that? That's a promise that we could all hang on to, don't you think? He says this will never be taken away from her. These words that she is listening to as they come from the mouth of her God, her Savior, will never be taken away. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? And for once to lay aside your overambitious self and to rest? To just simply rest? And listen to what your God says. Because that's what we're doing this morning. That's what I'm doing as well. Because this applies to me, well, every bit as much, if not more, than you. And having made peace, he says, through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. This is verse 20 of Colossians 1. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You see, if you continue in the faith and be not moved away from the hope that is found in the gospel, this is where we find our hope, my friends. It cannot be in performance. It cannot be in our ability to maintain the law or commandments or our own faith even. Our hope is found in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus Christ. That is where we stand. This is what Paul is saying. You have to remain here. You always return here. If you go somewhere else, you return back to the gospel, because it's from here that you find the foundation being laid and is laid. And so he says, this is where you are now seated. You have to be like Mary, yes, seated at the feet of your God, of Jesus, and hearing the message of the gospel over and over and over again, because we are fickle people. We always forget. We always forget. I always forget. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest or known to the saints. The gospel. The gospel message. Jesus Christ has come into this world to rescue sinners like Mary and like Martha. And like you, you who are seated here looking back at me, or at least some of you, like you, the mystery of the gospel has been made known to you. You know now, by the power of the word, that everything has been done for you. You have been saved. You have been set upon this rock, which is none other than Jesus the Christ. And he tells you to remain there. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Listen to this. which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is perhaps no more powerful verse in all of the scripture than that verse, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ in you, my friends, this morning, that guarantees to you your salvation, that speaks to you of the forgiveness of your sins, that strengthens you and upholds you in your faith. Christ in you. And notice what he says to wrap this all up. Whom we preach, we proclaim him. That's the office of the ministry. That's the office of the church. We proclaim Jesus. Notice, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. Whereunto Paul says, I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Do you see it? Do you see it? Because it can be hard to see. Paul says, listen. He says, the work that I do, it's through the one who works in me mightily. And this is where we find rest in our Christian walk. This is where we find hope. Because it's Christ in us, that part that Mary received as she sat at the feet of her God and heard his teaching. This is what would sustain her all the days of her life till the day she laid her head down in death. This would sustain her all the way through her life. And this is what sustains you and I this morning as well. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory, whom we teach, we preach, we proclaim all the time, so that people, upon hearing this message, would become a fully matured person in Christ. Because to teach anything else is simply to teach religion. And religion, at its best, destroys. As we have seen over and over again, not only just out there in other religions, but even in our Christian church, when we look at its history, people decided to get religious and they took up arms in the name of Christ and began to destroy people. And nowhere can you find that in the scripture. Christ did not come to destroy, he came to save. And this is what Mary heard. And this is what I pray we always will hear as we sit at the feet of Jesus Sunday after Sunday and occasionally on Friday nights. To hear of Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we're thankful this morning for your word. We're thankful that indeed as we sit here even this morning at your feet, that you don't teach us, Father, of religion. You teach us of yourself. And so, Father, open our eyes. Open our eyes to the truth of your word, to the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and help us to see. Open our eyes of faith even this morning as well, so that in spite of what we see going on around us, Father, you would continue to make yourself known. We thank you, we praise you for your glory, for your grace, for your forgiveness. And we ask, Father, that indeed you would bless us not only this day, but each and every day of our lives, that we would live out our lives at your feet. As you would work in us, Father, then we would go out and serve your church. So bless us to that end. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.